All right, we're going to cover five utilities today. They're just some of my favorites. And if people in the back, please stop talking back in the back. The one that you see up there, that big black bar, is the Moo Zero System Monitor. And I use the default settings. First of all, I want to tell you that many of the utilities come in a portable version. And you don't have to install them on your computer. You just put them in a folder and you click the EXE file and it opens up and it runs. So you can get two versions of the Moo System Analyzer. This is, I believe, the portable version we're using right now. And it's got more options than you can even imagine. I'm just going to give you a quick run through of it. But basically what you do is you download the file, you double click it, and it comes up with this little monitor, and it looks more like this when you get it, real skinny. So I make it a little bit bigger, and I make the background. I like the black one, but it's got about 100 different what they call skins. As you can see, you go crazy, but the default is gray, and I don't like it. Another thing that I don't like is I have this on my computer all the time, running all the time. I got it set up to start when the computer starts. Is it has a transparency setting. So I can set it and move it out of the way, and I can make it like almost invisible if I want. And it doesn't interfere with my vision of the desktop, but it's always there. Now, if something starts loading down, now the whole purpose that I use this for is that if your system seems to be running slow and you can't identify, is it a hard drive? Is it the processor? Is it the graphics processor? Is it the program itself, is not enough memory? All these things can be the possibilities. So what I do, and I'll start an antivirus program running just for fun. This is the Microsoft Securities Essentials. And it's hard to see. Let me change the transparency up so you can see. And anything that turns red is a bottleneck. In fact, this one's running pretty good. I just put a solid state hard drive in this thing. Any laptop that doesn't have a solid state hard drive, the first thing you'll see is the hard drive's busy all the time, 100% of the time. That's why people say, well, how can you double or triple the speed of your laptop by replacing the hard drive with a solid state? Well, it does. The standard hard drives are running around between 30 and, say, 100 megabytes per second. And if you put in a solid-state hard drive, it'll go somewhere between 200 and 500 megabytes, depending on how new your computer is. If you buy a brand-new computer with a typical, especially a laptop, with a typical 5400 RPM hard drive, which comes in every laptop that you buy, and you put in a solid-state hard drive, the speed will triple. Everything you're doing will be three times as fast. On older computers, it'll be about twice as fast. Yeah, I want to remind you all of one thing. I'm going to try and cover five utilities tonight, which gives me like 10 minutes per utility. So if I get bogged down on any one, we won't get through them all. But go ahead, Charles. You download the file and you double click on it. That's it. But it won't be black. It'll be gray. You have to go to the thing called skins and you pick the colors that you like. It's called the Moo, M-O-O-0, Moo Zero System Monitor. I call it System Analyzer because I use it to analyze computers that I work on. Because see, I use the portable version on a flash drive. So I can plug my flash drive into somebody's computer and open it up, and it tells me a lot about how that computer's running and why it's running slow. Oh, yeah. So if we come over here to the right, it should say hard drive busy, memory free. See, I have 5 gigabytes of memory free. If you've got like 0.1 gigabytes of memory free, your memory's slowing you down. And in memory, up here where it says bottleneck or burdened by, it's going to start telling you that it's the memory that's causing it, or the CPU or the graphics processor. This thing's still not running slow. Let me put another antivirus running. Super anti-spyware finds tracking cookies, which Malwarebytes does not look for. Malwarebytes has come up with a new version, which is driving some people crazy, and because they added a whole bunch of new features to it, which are not in the free version. So if you've got the free version, I already sent a note out describing all this. You get a lot of confusing questions. I can cover that at the end if we have time. All right, so you can see over here, every time it turns red, it is still the hard drive. SAS core means super anti-spyware, so that's the program that's running. And the hard drive is what's working the hardest. And so that tells you that even with a solid-state hard drive, this particular program is working the hard drive very hard. But if you're running other programs like a browser, and you see that the hard drive is burdened or whatever, then or the memory is low, then you know that something's screwed up somewhere. It has to do with maybe you have enough memory, but the browser you're using or a add-in on the browser is using up too much memory. You can see all this with this analyzer. If you look at it when your computer's running normally and then you have problems, you can come in here and see what doesn't look what looks different. Yeah, well, it depends on how many tabs you have open. Another little trick is you can come in here, if you want to know what it looks like normally, you can come in here to the snipping tool. You can come over here and take a snip of that, paste it into a document, a word processing document, and you'll have saved what this looks like typically when you're running a browser or antivirus, and you can then see what looks different later on. Because otherwise, if you don't run this every day, you don't remember. Even if you run it every day, you're not going to remember what these normal settings look like once you feel that the computer's running at a normal speed. So that's a really good idea to save this. Anyway, I want to show you, there's a million options. We're not going to go through any of them. I just want to show you, first of all, fields. So the fields tell you temperatures of GPU. Tells you, I'm not going to go down, but if I hit that down arrow, it goes down. There's like 100 different things you can have on this thing, and you run out of room. So what you do is you pick the things that are most important to you, and you uncheck the ones that are not. Like your network IP address. You don't really need to know that. It's nothing you need to be looking at all the time. So you could uncheck that and put something else there that's more important to you. When this starts up, by default, it's a really sad gray. And the first thing I do is change it to black, which I like. And gives me a lot of contrast. It's easier to read it. Even when I fade the transparency down, I normally run it like about like that. There's things here I don't use. There's things like mouse action, the view. You can do things to it. The layout. You can put it horizontally, vertically, all different ways to whatever suits your taste. I just use the default program and it helps me. You can also start it on system boot, which doesn't always work. If you're running as a standard user, which you should be, and you have an administrator account, you have to put in, when you start up, you have to put in the password to the administrator account every time or it won't start. But it doesn't always start on boot. It does not always work. So that's a little glitch. Uh-oh, I just closed it. Go back to Moo. Slow to start up, too. I don't know why. Probably figuring a lot of stuff out. Yes? If you go to the... Oh, I want to come down here. If I go to the task manager and I go to processes, now I'm showing processes from all users. And I click on the CPU column, it prioritizes by what's the busiest. And I don't even see mood. Maybe mood didn't start up. No, I started it again. It never asked me for a password either, so I probably didn't double click. See, now it's called System Monitor. It's under S. In fact, the shortcut comes up, starts at S, System Monitor. I put a MOO in front of it so I can remember to find it. But you can see that it's near the top, even though it's only running at like 1% of the CPU. It's competing with other programs to run. So it's not something I normally would run all the time. It's the kind of thing where you run it when you're having problems on your computer, you want to figure things out. It's just a very useful utility for analyzing the performance of your computer, especially helping you figure out if you think it's running slow, figure out why. If the browser is, a lot of times people are running slow because the internet is slow. The computer's not slow, the internet's slow. And so this is one more tool to help you maybe figure that out. Let's see, what else do I want to talk about on this? That's all I use on it. I do not even know what Iconize does. It probably, I'm not going to. And auto hide, I don't use the auto hide, but it keep on top. I never use keep on top for anything because whatever you're doing, it'll be in front of what you're trying to do. So if you're doing a word processing document, this thing will be sitting in front of what you're trying to do. So, and the other thing was, I think I showed you can put it where you want. You can make it as big or as little as you want. And you might see, why do you want it wide? But if you look down here, you can see that there's a graphic performance. And if you want to know more information about over a long time, this thing's sitting here tracking performance of the CPU. It's only running at 2% right now. And so it allows you to look at a long-term graph. I usually keep it just like this, and I just glance at it when I have a question. I usually use this when I'm computers that I'm working on just to help me figure out. Because a lot of people, you guys give me computers, and you don't tell me what's wrong. You just say it's slow. Graphics processor unit. And if you're working, I don't know that they gave me how hard, let me look, yields. Oh yeah, here it is. Should tell me how hard the graphics processor is working. As it's interesting is, the GPU frequently is the warmest thing in your computer. And when the airflow starts to get clogged up, that's the first thing that overheats. And that's the first thing you notice is that if you're watching these, is that the graphics processor is running warm. So that's all I'm going to cover on this. I just wanted to introduce you to it. SpeedFan. Yeah. I don't think there's a charge for anything I use. Except I use the paid version of Malwarebytes, not on this computer, but on my big computer at home. Let's see, SpeedFan. You could, by the way, just to give you an idea, this is my utility program folder, and just to see how many utilities happen to be in it. Okay, there's more than utilities in it. It's stuff that I wanted to get off the desktop, and I hide it there. All right, SpeedFan. No, I'm not comfortable with that. I only set them up. If I'm going to present, I want to use something I'm comfortable with. Besides, I don't like Windows 10. It's better than Windows 8, but it's not as good as Windows 7. It's 7 is still stable. Windows 10 probably won't be stable for another 6 months. If then, it does a lot of weird stuff that it performs differently. Okay, I apologize for the text being small. It has something to do. The text got smaller when I plugged the projector in. I don't know why. But this says HD 0, 30 degrees centigrade. That's hard drive, so each hard drive shows up. Temp 1 is a temperature on the motherboard. Core 0 and 1 is obviously the CPU. Now, if I go to configure, now this is called speed fan, and this gives you a little more information about what temp 1 is ACPI. That has to do with the, I forgot the letters mean, but it has to do with the power control in your computer. So basically, it's a sensor on the motherboard. And Intel Core is two different physical positions on the Intel processor chip. And they call everything over 49 degrees too hot. I call everything over by 59 degrees too hot, because frequently you find that your computers are always running in the 50s.
Centigrade.
And so the CPU usage up here, now here's what I'm going to show you. Let's see. I will start up Security Essentials again and tell it to do a full scan. All right, so now I'm exercising the CPU. You can see the green bars. So it's not working real hard, but it's working. And you can see that Core 0 went up to 45 degrees, Temp 1 went up to 44. So they're climbing. Now, if these get up into the 60s and 70s, then you've probably got dust clogging your computer. What you have to do is find out what the typical temperatures are for your computer when it's running, when it's at idle and when it's running. I'll show you another utility that I use in conjunction with SpeedFan. It's called Prime 95. I hope it's on here. No, it isn't. I'll run it. I'll run the portable version. Hopefully, we'll go to Support Files. Oh, wait a minute. See if it is in my portable apps. Nope, I don't see Prime 95 there. All right. It might be portable anyway. All right, so we're going to run Prime 95. What it does is it beats the crap out of the computer, maxes out the CPU processor 100% on every processor. If you got 8 processors, they'll all be running at 100%. I don't see it on here. The Prime 95, in conjunction with SpeedFan, will worst case test the heat tolerance of your computer. And if that thing gets up into the 60s and 70s with Prime 95, and that's the only time it gets up in there, then you're probably okay. One little trick a lot of people don't know, but you can go to the power settings in Windows 7, I think Windows 8 and 10, and you can actually tell the computer a maximum allowable performance of the CPU. So if your computer's a little bit old and overheating, you can tell it to only run 80% of the maximum CPU speed, and it will not work so hard. Supposedly, the Intel processors will throttle themselves down when they get too hot. It's prime numbers. It just calculates numbers, and it works the computer really, really hard. It's just a utility to work it hard. I don't know. I've got it hidden in here somewhere, but I don't know where it is. I don't know where it is. It wasn't part of my presentation, so I didn't look for it ahead of time. It's on my list of utilities, though. Everything's on my list of utilities. Here, let me show you my... everything we're talking about tonight, including when we go to CCleaner, there's a pretty decent write-up on CCleaner in there. We'll go to my website. We'll go to this one over here, number 15, Utility Programs. And it's, I don't know, 20-some pages long. It's got a lot of utilities in there. And there's a lot of descriptions of how to use the utilities. Like I said, there's a pretty good write-up in CCleaner and a bunch of other stuff. But up at the beginning, I wanted to read you guys this. I forgot about that. This is the header on my utility programs. These are the warnings. All right? So there's a site called Ninite.com. If you have a utility that you want to use, go there and see if it's there first. If it is, then you get it from there. Also want to warn you that almost every utility that I use now puts crapware on your computer if you allow it. By allowing it, that means you don't click yes, yes, yes through the boxes. You'll see an option between express or custom. You always choose custom. Little boxes will pop up saying, I'm going to put Google Chrome on your computer and I'm going to make it your default browser. So you uncheck the box. Some of them come up and say, I'm going to put Yahoo as your default homepage on your browser and I'm going to replace your Google search engine with the Yahoo search engine. You got to uncheck the boxes. If you click Express, the boxes will not show up. They'll just install the computer, the utilities, and the next thing you look at the computer, all of a sudden, Yahoo will be your homepage, and you'll have wondered why. Because Express does not ask your permission. By clicking Express, you've given it permission to put all the crap where it wants on your computer. It used to be that the utilities that I used didn't do that, and a lot of others did. And now they all do it. In fact, we had a defragmenter called AusLogix, and it's still one of the best defrag programs available, and it's free. But they loaded so much crapware on and so many ads. Even while you're running it, it keeps saying, "Do you want to do this? You want to do that? Get this stuff." That I quit using it. I'm not going to use it anymore. If I'm in a pinch and I want to use it, I have the portable version, an older portable version of it. I'll use that. But I just move away. Everybody moves away from the programs that harass you to load stuff on your computer you don't want. In fact, one of the best sites used to be download.com, which is now download.cnet.com, I believe. And SourceForge.net used to be the number one most reliable source of free open source programming. And even those programs you get from them will try to load crapware on your computer while you're installing the program. It doesn't download stuff. Most of the time they don't download stuff. That happens on some other. In fact, I think download.com will do that. FileHippo will now do that. All the places that used to be my favorite sites, you can get crapware downloaded with the program you want, or it will offer you or install crapware on your computer while you're installing the program. So you have to be careful.
Microsoft.
That's not good either. There is no good site to get software from anymore without crapware. Ninite does not give you crapware. Ninite is the number one most reliable site, but the number of utilities that are on it are limited, very limited. I'll show you what it looks like. That doesn't always work anymore. It used to be you could go to the author's site, and now you go to the author's site and it says, oh, here's a link to cnet.com or softpedia.com, and they send you there to download it from. So they don't have to take responsibility for giving you the crapware. Okay, so here's Ninite. And basically this is the roster of available programs. You've probably heard of VLC Player. You know iTunes, but if you have iTunes, it asks you all kinds of questions that you can't answer when you're installing it. So what you do is you go here and get your iTunes. If your iTunes is out of date, you come here and do iTunes. And it will update your iTunes without asking you any questions, without asking you to make any decisions. You just install it from Ninite and it works great. LibreOffice, I mean, there's tons of good programs on here. None of them are the particular utilities. Never tried that. Okay, so can't try everything. All right, so we went through SpeedFan, and it's basically very simple. Get out of here. SpeedFan is a very simple program. So far, SpeedFan hasn't given me any crapware with it. It just installs and you reboot and and it works great. And you don't have to run it all the time. SpeedFan does not run all the time. You run it when you want to check your temperatures, and when you're done, you close it. It goes away. Crystal Disk Info. Yes. Oh yeah, money. Of course, because most of the stuff's free. They don't get anything for you installing. Ooh, this is an old version. All right, this is Crystal Disk Info version. Current version's like 7.0.0. And if you had 5 hard drives, they'd all be listed here, and they would all have a little blue, yellow, or red dot telling you the condition of the drive. I believe it's USB drives also plugged in via USB will also show up on here. But if you suspect that your hard drive is a source of problems, this is the first place to go for a quick check. And it'll even tell you, and the most common things wrong are uncorrectable error count, I don't see the one I want. There's a maximum number of sectors that on a hard drive. Oh, this is an SSD. That's why it's not on there. On a hard drive, you have a sector goes bad. The drive has the capability of moving all that data to a better place, a safe, spare place that's spare, that's not counted in the size of the drive. It's hidden away, and they move your data there, and they mark that space that's bad as bad, and it'll never use it again. Well, guess what? Over a period of months or years, all the spare ones get used up. And so when the spare ones get used up and these counts get maxed out, Crystal Disk Info will say, caution, the drive's working, but you don't have any spare space to store to continue, which means that your drive's at risk of failing at any time. It's a hard failing. Because if a critical piece of data can't get relocated, that critical piece of data can prevent your computer from booting. So there's really nothing to show you on this other than fun little stuff. If it's a regular hard drive, it'll tell you the RPMs. This is a down-level version. Usually on RPMs over here on an SSD, it'll tell you it's an SSD. But it tells you it tells you the real size of the hard drive. A lot of times you go through the computer and you see bits and pieces of it. Like if I go to my computer, it says it's a 213 gigabyte hard drive. Well, that's because some of the size of the drive is hidden away, and some of it is reserved by Windows. So you can't look at that and see the size of the drive. Like if you want to replace the drive, you want to know the exact size of your old one if you want to get one just like it. So this tells you that. It gives you a lot of interesting information about the drive, including the should be the part number, the manufacturer's part number on there. Oh, that's what this is up here. So big, I missed it. That's the manufacturer. So if you want to go to Amazon, you would just search on that number and you would find that exact drive on Amazon. So that's Crystal Disk Info. It's a really good program. And I think it does try to load crapware on it, so you better click on custom. Oh, CCleaner. CCleaner tries to load crapware now, too. It used to be one of the best. All right, I'm going to show you a million little things about CCleaner. How's the time? Oh, we're doing good. Oh, we're doing good. Okay, because I want to spend some time on CCleaner. All right, so what CCleaner basically used to do was two things. It would delete temp files from your computer, and you could tell it by checking and unchecking stuff here what to save or what to delete. Even over here in applications, you can tell it to delete cookies or not delete cookies. And so that alone was the original function of CCleaner, and it worked good. So I click Analyze, and it's going to come up, and it shouldn't take too long because I just ran it on the first of the month. Google Chrome needs to be closed. I didn't even know it was open. So I'll tell it to close it. It'll close Chrome for me. Because it can't delete cookies from a browser if the browser's open. Yeah, I don't know why. Okay, so here's the basic function of CCleaner. Is that it, well, first of all, the total was 62 megabytes. Not much. I've run out on some of these and found 6.2 gigabytes. Because people haven't deleted temp files since they bought the computer. So basically what's nice about this, it tells you exactly what it's going to delete. So if you decide that you do not want to delete the Thunderbird internet cache, you come over here and you uncheck that and you click analyze again. And it will ignore that the next scan before you delete anything. So it tells you the areas of the machine that have the most, like the Thunderbird internet cache is got most of the temp files, which isn't much. 66 megabits is nothing. Let me turn my sound down a little bit. Can you still hear me all right? All right. Oh, yeah. Well, basically, it's safe to delete any of the stuff that's set by default. If you don't want the cookies to be deleted, which affects logins and remembering things about sites that you go to, then you would tell it not to delete cookies. I think you can even specify specific cookies not to be deleted. But you just have, from experience, you just go in and yeah. But you know what? Here's how I do it. I use CCleaner. I let it delete cookies, but the one that really gets the cookies that you don't want is Super Anti-Spyware, because it deletes tracking cookies. And CCleaner does not delete tracking cookies. Nothing deletes tracking cookies but Super Anti-Spyware, as far as I can tell. I do block third-party cookies. And I can tell you that once a month I run Super Anti-Spyware and it finds a ton of tracking cookies, hundreds of them. I have my Firefox set up to always block third-party. I don't know why this thing's squeaking all of a sudden. All right, so we'll just for fun, we'll run the cleaner. It's not much there. And when it's done, it'll tell you it deleted 66 megabytes of stuff. And by the way, there's little Moo Analyzer. It was telling us the hard drive was busy while that was going on. It's deleting the Internet Explorer history. It's taking longer than I expected. Yes. Well, I use a lot of portable apps because I'm working on other people's computers. Okay. If it's my own computer, I install it. Yeah, but I'm familiar with these programs, and I use them constantly, so I have confidence in these utilities, except for the fact that you get crapware with them. All right, so this is the basic file cleaner part of CCleaner. Now, I'm user Jim. There's also a user called admin Jim. This will not clean admin Jim. You have to go log into admin Jim and run CCleaner from that user to clean those cookies. So just be aware that CCleaner only cleans for the current user. So if you have five users on your computer, you'd have to run CCleaner for each of the five users. All right. The other basic thing that I don't use any registry cleaners, is the registry clean. And when you scan the registry, it comes up with a zillion things that are unused and various reasons it's going to delete stuff. I do not run the registry cleaner except when I'm doing a malware removal. Then I run the registry cleaner because the general consensus is that there's no benefits to the computer by removing registry entries as far as speeding it up. And yet there's always that risk that if you delete a critical extension in the registry, then reboot the computer, it might not boot. CCleaner is the most conservative registry cleaner around, and everybody will tell you that works on computers. There are tons of other registry cleaners that a lot of you people have bought, because I find them on your computers, that could cause your computer to be unbootable if you ran it against your registry. The risk is there, but say the risk is 0.1% with CCleaner and it's 5% with the others. That's a 95% of the time, you're fine. But every now and then, it could remove something and crash your computer. So I don't use even CCleaner. I don't use it unless I've made a full image backup of the computer and I'm doing a full malware removal. Then I'll run CCleaner against the registry. I'll show you in a minute. I'll get to it. It shows up in the system restore. When I'm running CCleaner, see where I have one called Run as Admin? That's a setting that I set in the start options. It's the same as right-clicking on it and clicking Run as Administrator. Then you have to put in the password. Normally, running CCleaner, you don't have to put in the password because you're just running your on your local user, doing stuff for your local user. When you're running certain things like System Restore, I don't know if you all know System Restore. If you go into Windows 7 or even 10 on Windows Restore, you either delete them all or you can't delete any. I'm not even sure Windows 10 even lets you have access to it anymore. But on System Restore on CCleaner, you come in here. Now, System Restore, I can go in and I can delete specific entries, or I can delete the oldest ones and leave the last four or five. But look at what happened. Can anybody tell me why it's blank? No, because I'm running as a standard user, and I do not have the authority to look at system restore points. So now I'll run CCleaner run as admin. I'll put in my password. I made just a convenience for me to remind me to do it that way. So now I come to System Restore, and look at that. There's like 15 restore points. The first time I did that, I thought, where's all my restore points? I know there's restore points, but there's no place to go look at them. Right-click on My Computer, go to Properties, and look for System Restore. There's no way to look at the restore points. All you can do is either delete them all or turn System Restore off and back on to get rid of them. There's no way to look at them except that I know of. I'm sure there's other utilities, but CCleaner allows you to see. For here's one, I removed WOT because now people are considering WOT malware because they broke trust with all of us. So on January 1st, I removed WOT. So if I wanted to, I could delete all the entries older than that to free up space on my hard drive. If my hard drive was getting full, that's one way you can manage your hard drive till you buy a new hard drive is deleting restore points because they take a lot of space up on your hard drive. Okay, so we're going to go back to, we're not going to go to registry anymore. I'm going to come back up here to uninstall. And of course, you all know I use Revo Uninstaller. Most of you do. This is similar to Revo. I don't use it. I use Revo. Startup is similar to a program we used to all use called CodeStuff Starter. And you can come in here and tell things not to run when you start the computer. Well, the risk always is, unless you know exactly what you're doing, you can make your computer unbootable by stopping the startup of certain things. But it has its uses, and if there's something in here you know you think is causing a problem, you can take a gamble and stop. Now remember, when I'm working on computers, I've already made a full image of the computer. I can put it back the way it was. So I go in here and mess around in this stuff. I have a warm, fuzzy feeling of comfort that I can put the computer back the way it was if I screw everything up. The scheduled tasks, I don't know if you're all familiar with that, but scheduled tasks, malware hangs around in here. And so if you come in, that's why on my malware removal, there's a lot of little... You come in here and look for anything that doesn't look familiar. It doesn't have a manufacturer name there, and it doesn't look trustworthy. You can double click it and disable it. You don't have to remove it. If you find that you don't need it anymore, you can actually delete the entry. Anybody know what the context menu is? If I right click on any icon, if I right click on that, this is the context menu. And you notice there's a lot of stuff on my context menu. Yours probably doesn't have so many things. But it allows me, for example, this folder, I could scan this folder with SuperAntiSpyware or Microsoft Security Essentials or with Malwarebytes. It would scan the folder for malware, and I can run it sandboxed. See, these are all utilities that I use. I can search the folder with ultrafile search. That's another utility that I use and recommend better than the search function in Windows 7. So these are all part of what's called a context menu. Well, if there's entries on there that you can't get rid of, you can come in here and disable them here, and they won't show up on your context menu. And if you leave them here and you don't delete them, if you just disable them, you can always re-enable them at a later date. I don't mess around with this because everything you do in this area runs the risk of clobbering, having unintended consequences. Browser plugins, this is pretty cool. Internet Explorer, Firefox, and is Chrome on here or not? I guess not. Or it doesn't have any extensions. These are the browser extensions that are on Internet Explorer, and these are the ones, I don't know why it's not going to Firefox. But these are the browser extensions that you can see. I don't use this either. I'm just showing you what's there. Disk Analyzer, this is pretty cool. I use a program called Spacemonger. It gives me a multicolored snapshot of how space is being used or wasted. But this gives you a nice little analysis because it tells you the biggest files, biggest to smallest, on your hard drive. So if you're running out of hard drive space, you can come down here and you can see that I've got a bunch of podcasts that are the biggest files on my computer. I recognize all those, and they're all podcasts. So I know that I'm not going to delete those right now because I know that I clean those up about every couple of weeks. I get rid of the old ones that I haven't watched, and I always delete the ones I have watched or listened to. So that's a really cool function on CCleaner. And remember, a lot of these weren't there 6 months or a year ago. They keep adding new functions to this thing. Yes? Say that again? No. I don't think so. Now, don't forget, it's only been 2-3 weeks since it was announced that WOT was selling personal information. So I would say in another few months, everybody will consider WOT, it's called Web of Trust. Now they got Web of Mistrust, because everybody's going to consider it malware. I forget which one of my antivirus programs. I just ran it last week, and it removed WOT. One of the browsers. This is the duplicate finder, which I haven't used. There's separate programs, which you've probably all heard about, that do that. And I have not tried this to find that out. One thing it will do that I did read about was that it will find duplicates based on the contents of the file, even if the file name is different. So if you have a bunch of photos and they're all identical with different names in different locations, it'll list them for you. So that's pretty amazing, but I haven't tried it. In fact, there's the box right there, match by content. So if it's the same size and the same content, even with different dates and different file names, it's probably the same file. And you can look at it, and if they're the same, you can delete. Because believe me, we all have a lot of duplicate files on our computer that we're unaware of. We did system restore. Drive wiper you have to be very careful with. I believe you have to be in administrator mode on this to run drive wiper. But free space only is the default. So if you deleted a whole bunch of stuff off your computer that you're worried somebody might be able to recover with a program called Recover, which is another utility, you can go in and wipe the free space, and every area where you've deleted stuff off the hard drive, it will write ones and zeros. You say, what's it going to do? Simple overwrite, one pass. But look at this, complex overwrite. Here's a very complex. It'll 35 times it'll write ones and zeros over the empty space on your hard drive. No one will ever recover anything from that. And it doesn't damage your operating system because it's only wiping the space that already is supposedly empty. This is the scary one, entire drive. So if you try to, I don't know if he'll even let you do it on your main drive, but if you had multiple hard drives, you could go in and wipe the data off any drive on your system completely. Yes, but everything you do in the registry has that risk of making your computer unbootable, either now or at a future date. And Leo Laporte and everybody I know says that there's no benefit to... I even have the Glary Utilities will even do a defrag on your computer, on your registry, and supposedly clean up and defrag it. And it's like, from what I've heard, no one has been able to prove that it affects the performance, improves the performance of your computer. So why take the risk? That's my position. Right, moderate, right. Yeah, I use moderate unless I'm doing malware removal and I have a concern. It does. And I can't promise you that Revo won't cause your computer some unintended consequences because it does mess with the registry. I can tell you that if I'm removing any Microsoft program, I do not use Revo on installer. Because if you have two or three versions of Office on your computer, which I know a lot of members do, and you remove one of them with Revo on installer, there's a good chance the other two versions of Office won't work. Because there's common shared files. And Revo tries to warn you, but it doesn't always know every file in the even registry entries or even files that are shared between common files that are shared between various versions of Microsoft programs. So I've learned the hard way because remember, I always have an image backup before I start. So I've had to put computers back the way they were and then use the control panel programs and features to remove a Microsoft program. Okay. Icon Restore it's good and it's bad. If you have Vista, it's very good because Vista, all the icons on your desktop frequently would all move to the left and get all boogered up on its own. And Icon Restore will put them back the way they were. It doesn't work on every computer. It doesn't work consistently on every program. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. This is what it looks like. It's very simple. It's a free version and a paid version. I even bought the paid version, and it allows you to do more things, but it's not stable either. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to save the current desktop layout. And supposedly, if I go to layouts, today's date should be on there. What's today? The 10th. Okay. So that's it right there. Oh yeah, that's the 2016. Okay, so I just saved the desktop layout. Now, the Moo Analyzer is not an icon, so it will not be affected by this. But if I remove if I move some of these icons around, I'm not sure. I don't think it works on this computer. And I go to Icon Restore. And remember, this usually is a result. You want to do this as a result of if you change the size of your icons accidentally, which is easy to do, and they get all messed up. If you change the resolution of your graphics, and then you put it back, your icons are completely messed up. Everything's been moved. So I'm going to restore it to the last saved position. It put them back pretty much, except for this one down here. So it doesn't work 100%, but I can tell you that if everything gets clobbered on the desktop, Icon Restore does a pretty decent job. And some computers, it does a perfect job of putting the icons back the way they were. I first looked into that with Vista because we had, for some reason, when Vista first came out, it still does it. You would just boot up and all of a sudden all the icons had like, I don't know if you're probably aware, there's a sort by names, by size. It would be as if you did a sort by name and everything would zoom over to the left and vertically, alphabetically, and it's like, I didn't do that. And another problem that people have is under view, there's an option called auto arrange. So So every time you move an icon, it puts it back where it was. Because it keeps them all lined up alphabetically on the left in vertical columns. And even with that turned off on Vista, Vista did what it wanted to do. So the icon restorer did a good job on Vista putting things back pretty much the way they were. I wanted to show you guys an alternative to WOT. I think it's on here. It's available for Firefox and Chrome. It is not available for Internet Explorer. It's called Traffic Light. I don't know if it's even on. Oh, here it is. That green signal right there is Traffic Light. Bitdefender. Now remember, it's Bitdefender Traffic Light. If you just search Traffic Light, there's other companies that make add-ons called Traffic Light. So if you want to try Bitdefender Traffic Light, I don't have any bad sites. It used to be I could search under free.com and it would come up with red stuff, but I haven't found anything red on Traffic Light yet. I'd like to find a site that it thinks is red and then I can use it for a demo. But it works okay. There's another, I don't know if you all know about AdBlock Plus. Everybody used to think AdBlock Plus was the best way to block ads. Well, it turns out that for a fee, you can pay AdBlock Plus to not block your ads. It'll block everybody else's ads, but if you pay AdBlock Plus, they won't block your ads. So if you wonder when you're using AdBlock Plus, you get an occasional ad, it's because they paid AdBlock to let it through. So there's a new there's another option, I don't think it's on here, called uBlock Origin. A hard name to remember. It's not uBlock Origin, and let me see if it can pop up. This is the extension screen for Firefox, and I will put in uBlock Origin. I have it on my main computer for sure, and here it is. And we'll install it. And what it is, it's an ad blocker.
Can you do alphabet hiding with it?
I don't know. uBlock does as much or more than ad block, and it's 100% reliable to block everything you tell it to. Here. All right. So here's the little icon for it. And if I go to even sites that are considered green, and I'll allow this all to go, and it should come up and tell you what it's blocked. There it goes. 9. It blocked 9, 13, 15. It's counting. It's blocked 16 scripts on this screen, on this website alone. And you can go in and tell it to not block a certain one or anything, but those are requests that the JavaScripts or whatever kind of scripts they are on the website has made to go out and collect ads and stuff to harass you with. No, I'd never heard of that one. I don't know what that number 2 up there is either. Oh, here it is. It detected two. Even though it's green, it detected 2 trackers on this page. Now, this is Traffic Light again. And they're not bad. They're Google Analytics and Google Plus. So it's not a bad tracker. That's why it's still green, I guess. But it's letting you know that Google's tracking you. Oh, I'm actually done. That's why I'm talking about stuff that wasn't listed. I recommend that you use... that you do not use Internet Explorer, period. I recommend that you use Firefox or Chrome and that you put, first of all, you use Sandboxy. Remember, always use Sandboxy. Make sure there's a yellow border around your browser anytime you're browsing. See the yellow border? Should always be there to remind you that you're safe. And even with Sandboxy, you should have Bitdefender Traffic Light Yeah, but, you know, almost, I don't think I've been to a site that wasn't green on that traffic light. So I don't know. I've only been using it a couple of weeks, so I can't personally recommend it. It's just that other people have recommended it as an alternative to WOT. So what can I say? I like WOT till they betrayed our trust. So that's a bunch of utilities that we're supposed to cover and a couple of extras. Lotus WordPro is not compatible with anything because IBM abandoned it. I use it all the time, and I don't think LibreOffice will even import files from Lotus WordPro. Lotus WordPro is a great program. Lotus was a great suite of programs, but IBM bought it and then ignored them and abandoned it. So it's one of those things where a good product went away. There's a lot of things that LibreOffice won't do, but there's a lot of things that Microsoft Office won't do either that WordPro does. So what you have to do is find out the word. There's tricks to making every word processor do what you want. And what you do is you try to find a good way to word what it is you want to do. You go to YouTube and you put in the word tutorial, the name of the program, and a slight description of what you're trying to do. And you'll almost always find a video instruction telling you how to do it. That's my best advice on LibreOffice because there's a ton of support for it. That's recording the audio for the... that is Audacity. That's what everybody uses. That's the go-to audio program for doing all kinds of audio stuff. Even converting files from one kind of audio to another. Audacity does a lot of stuff. And almost everything I've told you about that's a portable version is probably available there. You're not
okay,
on. There you're on.
Any other questions?